Dads on the air, we're here cause we care. We ask all the questions that others don't dare. We're dads on the air. We're dads on the air.
Welcome back to Dads on the Air, coming to you around Australia on the Community Radio Network. In this program, we bring you informing and entertaining conversations with a wide range of interesting people on topics of fatherhood, men's and boys' issues. Hi, I'm Bill Cable, and today we're talking about parental alienation, and in particular how it affects grandparents. Parental alienation, for those who aren't familiar with the term, it's a form of child abuse where one parent brainwashes a child to reject the other parent. And it's a common symptom that this then extends to the extended family, including grandparents and even great-grandparents. And it happens when the affected person has previously enjoyed a normal relationship. Unfortunately, it is a growing feature of many family law cases after separation and divorce. So today, we're speaking with Anne King. Anne King is a former nurse, a disability worker, and unfortunately, an alienated grandmother. Anne, welcome to the program.
Hello, Bill. How are you?
Not too bad, thank you. So we're talking to you, Anne, in a situation where you haven't seen your grandchildren for...
Four years on Father's Day.
4 years on Father's Day. So was that a significant day 4 years ago?
It was, yes. We had saw the girls and we met because we live in Victoria and Anthony was living in New South Wales. We met at Albury and we booked a holiday park there for the weekend, and he was to have the girls for Father's Day, and it just all fell apart. The children were continually being rung by their mother or calling their mother. There was a new husband with the mother, and they were ringing and continually talking to him around Father's Day, and it was really quite distressing to watch Anthony have to go through that. From then on, when he said to the children, you know, we're spending some time together, when they went home, they indicated to their mother that they weren't happy, and from there it just went downhill and she applied to have all the holidays stopped after that. He didn't get the children in September. She had a solicitor's letter sent for the school holidays in September, put in an affidavit to the court, and in December we were back in the court just before Christmas, and then back it was adjourned and back into the court in January. So we didn't see the children again after that.
So just to give us some context on this, how many grandchildren of yours are we talking about?
There's three in that relationship. Anthony has four children. Four daughters. He had three in his marriage, and he's had one daughter external to that marriage, and he doesn't see her either.
So you've got four children alienated, and then there's you as Anthony's mother, and then there's also Anthony's got a grandmother who's missing out as well.
Yes, he has. At the time, there were two great-grandparents alive. There was my mother-in-law and my mother. And we had relationships with both of them. We spent Christmases with my mother-in-law and with my mother at separate times. When Anthony brought the children down to visit us, we would visit my mother at the same time. So they were missing out too. My mother-in-law passed away last year, and she hadn't seen them for about four years previous to that. And my mother, who is in failing health at the moment, hasn't seen or heard from them either. And she sends them birthday cards, and she always pops a little bit of money in for each of them for their birthdays and at Christmas, and still doesn't get any calls or anything.
No. So what do you do with these presents?
For me, what I do, back in the day when I was much younger, we had what we called glory boxes, Bill, and they were filled with, you know, linen and things like that for when you grew up, got married and went off to live your life. I fill my grandchildren's glory boxes with their birthday presents and their Christmas presents.
No, it's a lovely custom. I presume you had a glory box when you got married?
Yeah, Yeah, I did. I had towels and sheets and pillowcases in it, blankets.
It's another age, really, isn't it?
Now it is another age, absolutely.
Children tend to, the young people now tend to live together for, in the majority of cases, before they get married anyway. So
they probably
have their towels.
Yes, yeah. But I think, you know, for me, it's it will go to them when, you know, when they're old enough. I will make sure that they get those boxes. The presents are all wrapped up, they're all named and everything, and they sit in that box and wait for them to come. I feel sad, but I also feel that this is going to be something that they're going to be able to have when they're older. Included in that is because they're Catholic, they have religious events of confirmations and communions and what have you, so I've got special gifts for those as well.
So we're talking about a situation where you haven't seen them for 4 years, but I presume the alienation started before that.
Oh, yes, absolutely, absolutely. It was really difficult. Anthony was always had to fight to get his children. He was always, we spent a lot of time in the family law courts in Canberra because that's where it had to be heard. And, you know, there was times we had to remortgage our house to assist him to be able to afford to keep going back to court, and it doesn't work. You know, when people say to you, just go back to court and, you know, apply to the court, it just doesn't work. The system's not working. It's actually broke, as far as I'm concerned, and you don't get the opportunity to have people listen to you. The magistrates sit up there, they get court reports from people who have no idea who you are. They don't interview you, the court reporters, so it really makes it quite difficult. I've been told, you know, as a grandparent, I have the opportunity to be able to apply for the court to have visitations, but when I see what Rebecca was putting my granddaughters through with the emotional abuse, I felt if she's doing that with Anthony, she's going to do that with me. And it's really interesting, Bill. I was thinking about it the other day, and I can remember her ringing me. I had rung the girls one day and was talking to them, and this is quite a while ago. This is probably going back about 5-6 years. I was talking to them, and I had a phone call within minutes after hanging up, and it was Rebecca telling me that if I didn't stop calling the children, then she would do to me what she did to Anthony. So, you know, I was just sort of pondering, often wander off in thought and about what's happened with the children, and that came back, and that was really distressing for me. I was at work at the time, and I'd taken the opportunity at lunchtime to give them a call, and my afternoon just went downhill.
So you were threatened directly, and
oh yes, yeah, and directly.
Mm. And look, it's hard enough to get coverage for the parents, but it's the grandparents and great grandparents even who are really the forgotten people in all this, aren't they?
Yes, they are. They are. I've you know, put different things up and said, you know, this is our next stolen generation. This is what I call it. And they're stolen from the grandparents. They're stolen from the great grandparents. Apart from being stolen from the parent, whether it's a mother or a father, because this doesn't only happen to men. The majority is men, you know, the dads, but it does happen to mums as well. And it's really, really a terrible thing. And you look forward to grandchildren. You know, I did. Mm. I looked forward to having children. I had 4 sons. And then I had a son who gave me 4 granddaughters. And for me, it was just wonderful to have all these girls, because I was a dolly girl when I was younger and what have you, and didn't have any daughters. And not that that worries me. I love my boys. But, you know, to have girls, and I could go and buy dresses, and I was always shopping. I was always, you know, every time I walked past a shop, I'd look in the window and, you know, I'd pop in and buy something for the girls. And I took leave to go and visit with Anthony, to be able to visit with the girls and have time with them. I do a lot of craft. I was teaching them. I was wanting them to do, you know, craft as I do. And it's just, you lose all of that. You lose those times and the Christmases and the special occasions.
Yes, look, it's just so cruel.
Yes, it is cruel.
On the grandparents, on everyone involved in this.
Yes.
And we're going to take a short break now. So you've picked a song for us to play, and I think it's got a special significance for you.
It has got a special significance for me. The song is Anthony, when he did his first formal from school, he wore, I had a favourite song called White Sports Coat, and so he wore, and with a pink carnation, and he wore a white jacket with a pink carnation and black pants to his first formal at school. And so it was sort of something special. I used to walk around the kitchen and sing it all the time. So he said to me, I'll wear it for your mum. So, and that's the sort of boy that he is, was, and is man now. So, yeah, it is very special.
Well, feel free to sing it if you like. But
thanks, Bill.
Other than that, we'll get Marty Robbins. So this is Marty Robbins singing A White Sports Coat. And that was Marty Robbins singing A White Sports Coat, a special request from our guest today, Anne King, who's telling us about the tragic situation of grandparents and great-grandparents who suffer from this, they don't like to call it a syndrome, but it's certainly parental alienation, which is affecting a growing number of families in Australia after separation and divorce. Perhaps, Anne, you could tell us a little bit more about how it affects the family. What was the effect on the girls, do you think?
Bill, to me, when I look at it, and coming from a health background and now a disability background, I work with children in situations where they are living with traumatic situations, and there's an attachment to a particular parent. And when I read things about the parental alienation, and they've alienated one parent against the other, what I see is this the creation of this attachment and trauma disorder, because the children are traumatised by the loss of a father, but they create, the mother or the other parent creates an attachment to them by alienating that other parent. And so we're going to have these children who are coming through with that. I know, particularly my eldest granddaughter, Bonnie, there was a lot of concern around what was happening for her. She was taken to doctors. She was always sick. She was having a lot of time off school. She was taken to psychologists. They were wanting to take her to psychiatrists. Mm. She created all these allergies. So it was, I could see what was happening for her and those changes in her. And for the second lass, Jessica, who is just got the gentlest soul, she was going introverted and was coming quite introverted and quite distressed. And I just, you know, Anthony stopped the fight for the children only because he could see what was happening to them, and he just could not bear that this is what they were going through. And for me, sorry, I was losing my grandchildren, but also my son. So he was not travelling very well, and there were a lot of times where when he had come down to visit us and then went back home, and there's about a 6-hour drive, and I would make sure that he rang me when he got home just so that I knew he was home, because I was fearful for what might happen for him. And now I'm sort of fearful for the children and what they're going to be like as they grow, and what sort of young women are they going to be when they've been put through this sort of thing and alienated. And the alienation to do that is such a negative attitude, a negative way of being. And for me, that's how these children are going to grow up.
So based
on a negative world.
Yes, and based on your experience as and your qualifications as being a nurse and working in disability, would you categorise this as emotional abuse of those children?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. If I was working for a, I think New South Wales has an equivalent to Victoria called, is it DOCS?
Yes.
I would be making a report to them as a worker for them, I would be visiting them and having a look at what was going on, because it is emotional abuse. Because children who are growing up don't have any of that negativity about them. They grow up in wonder, and that's why we need to let them grow up in wonder of the world. But to do this to them, you actually are changing their personalities and into a negative situation, and it is emotional abuse. The doctor hunting, the psychiatrist hunting, the psychologist, you know, hunting is just, I did at one stage say to a solicitor who was supporting Anthony, or a barrister who was supporting Anthony, that this was bordering on Munchausen's from Rebecca's point of view, because she was just going to the medical people all the time.
So Munchausen's is when you indicate that your child is sick and get treatment, when perhaps it's not the child that needs the treatment.
Yep, that's right, yep.
Yeah, so, well, perhaps a lot of people, I think you touched on it before, but perhaps a lot of people would say that you should, there is provision in the system, you should be able to go and get an order from the court, and what's the problem?
Yeah, yeah.
What would you say to them?
As from my personal experience, being told by Rebecca that she would do to me what she did to Anthony, then the same thing would happen. I could go to the court, I could get access to the children, and I wouldn't get them anyway. And because there was times where Rebecca withheld the children, and there was nothing done about it. There's no comeback. And again, we go back to that. People say, well, just go back to court. Well, it's not that simple. It's not as simple as just go back to court. You can't afford it. If you can't afford it and you go there and represent yourself, I can tell you that Anthony tried to do that once, and the judge absolutely criticised him something woeful in front of everybody and in the court, and belittled him because he went there and tried to represent himself because he couldn't afford a solicitor at the time. And it's not that simple. So, you know, when you've got someone who is continually withholding children, and they know they can do it without any comeback, and without being held accountable for doing that, then they continue on to do it. And so I just could, and we couldn't afford it. In the finish, we couldn't afford it. We'd remortgaged our house to help Anthony, and there was just really nothing left.
You've got four children, so
yep.
It's that, even that's sort of putting an unfair strain on you. But
yes,
did you find also that the alienation was putting your relationship with Anthony at risk?
The alienation didn't put us my relationship with Anthony at risk. It probably made us closer. Because I love my sons, Bill. I adore them. They're my life, and so I would never ever step away from them at any given time. The relationship with his ex-wife Rebecca certainly put our relationship at risk when they were married. Rebecca was alienating me from their life when she was even with Anthony, so she was pushing me aside. And there was a strain there at that time, and I was fearful of, you know, that I would lose my son and wouldn't be able to get to see him as often as what, you know, we had in the past. But I would never ever push my son away. I would never ever do that. I would wait for him, which I will do now. I will wait for my grandchildren and hope that they will come back and hope that we will see them. You know, my husband doesn't talk about it a lot, but you know that he's feeling it too, and he's not getting to see them either. And he's their pa. You know, I've got one granddaughter that was born on his birthday, same day as he is, and he doesn't get a phone call or a card or anything from him. And they know when his birthday is. He feels that. He certainly feels that.
We're speaking with Anne King. Anne, do you have any idea what would make the mother, Rebecca, do this to you and to Anthony, the children's father, and his family?
Look, she was an interesting young girl when Anthony met her. She had previously been married and divorced, and then Anthony came into her life and, you know, met up and went off together. And Rebecca always sort of talked about how lovely it was to be in this family because she had been treated... She was treated like a little girl in her own family. Her mother would control her. She would ring her mum every day, even when they got married and they were living in Victoria, because they live up in central New South Wales in Young. She would ring her mum every morning and every night to say good morning or to say good night to them. The control has gone back a generation, and that's where I see it coming from.
So you think it's a control thing?
Oh, absolutely. It is a control thing. Because it's about having power over somebody else. Yep. From their point of view, it's a control thing. Yeah.
And extraordinarily, when Anthony's had a child with another woman, the same thing's happened again, even after he was told that it wouldn't.
Yes, yeah. That last, when he was with her, we were standing opposite a court. She was pregnant at the time, and it was so distressing when we were waiting to go to the court. And she turned to me and said, "Anne, I would never do this to Anthony. I would never, ever stop him from seeing his children." And in time, after she had the baby, another, you know, the fourth little girl, Ava, this is exactly what she did. And part of that was, again, around she wanted Anthony to move in with her. And he was, at the time, he was seeing the girls. He was living in Young, and he was having the girls contact with them. And this other lass had, she lived out on a little bit of property, and she had animals in the house and birds and things like that. And she wanted to him to move in with her. Now, and because the girls, Bonnie in particular, did have some allergies, particularly to cats, it didn't go down well when he said, "No, I can't," because the animals would have to be outside because the girls would be coming to visit. It was always about the girls for him, and she gave him an ultimatum and said, "It's either the girls or me and our daughter." And so that relationship fell apart. The really interesting thing is, Bill, that Rebecca and a couple of her friends actually entered that girl's house and threatened her when she first had a relationship with Anthony, when it first started. And then that girl befriended Rebecca afterwards, and they swapped notes.
Yes. Well, it appears we can't rely on our system and the legal cost, so we can only just hope as much as we can, Anne, that these children do get through this and come back to Anthony. But
I hope so, Bill. I guess it's my biggest wish. At the moment, to be honest, I live with a sad heart, and the day that I see them again and I have the opportunity to talk to them, it'll be the happiest day of my life.
Well, let's hope that's not too far away. But in the meantime, I think you've picked a very emotional song for us to go out on. Would you like to tell us which one?
Yep. I've chosen You Are So Beautiful by Joe Cocker. And this song is, I guess, everything that my boys mean to me, my granddaughters mean to me, and now I have a new grandson who's going to be one next month, and what he means to me. So for me, it's about them, and they're my life. I'd walk over hot coals for them. So this is what they mean to me.
Okay, so this is You Are So Beautiful by Joe Cocker.
That's it.
Okay, so that was You Are So Beautiful by Joe Cocker, and we've come to the end of our program. We'd like to remind you that if you'd like to listen to this show again or any of our shows, you can go to dadsontheair.com.au, and we'll be in touch. So it just remains for me to thank our special guest today. It's been a very emotional journey. Anne King, thank you very much for being on the program.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
And we'll be back next week with another show on Dads on the Air.